Yeah, we're in Maseches Peah, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Parak Sheni, still in the middle of Halacha Aleph. Says Rabbi Yossi, B'shem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Hifrish Peah Misadel Chavratan Lo Kitsham. Even B'diavad, if someone went ahead and took off Peah from one field to a field that had been considered another field, according to the laws of Hafsakad we just studied, it would not even B'diavad be Kodesh as Peah. Rabbi Zera Boy Kome Rabbi Yosef. Zera asked in front of Rabbi Yosef, what would be the din of Nitkaven Lizkot Min HaMeitzah? Suppose the Meitzah itself, which is between the Sadot, it's like a little raised area of land, and he went ahead
and it too has produce.
And it too has produce.
Isn't Meitzah the depth?
What?
No,
no, it's the boundaries where you're pressed in. It's Bein HaMitzarim. What would be the din over there? Can you take off from that on the field because of the fact that it's a Meitzah? Perhaps it would be considered to be, at least to some extent, bottled in the field, even though it itself might be a hefsek between the two fields. But it could be maybe part of book fields on either side.
Is it one owner for both fields?
Yeah, of course.
The question is whether the Meitzah will work for both fields or for
either field. Yeah, either field. And he managed to weasel out of giving him an answer, sort of disappeared on him. So he apparently didn't know the answer to this, which is strange, because Michlach Hashitasa de Rabbi Yosef. This would appear that Rabbi Yosef has changed his mind, because he certainly did seem not to have any suffering about this. The Tanina Tamam, Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Akiva, Mizorea Shevet, Ochardal, Mishalosh Mikomot. So we learn that the Chachamim Lameid, if you plant Shevet or Chardal in three places, let's say, two or three places that it's considered to be completely separate elements. Now, there we're talking about nimur. Nimur means you make a field look spotted, like a namer. Right? So it's haminamer et sadeir. So there it says that everybody is moda that if you did this in two or three places, that each one is considered to be like a separate field, even though it's spotted and doesn't have any clear cut sense of this being one field, this being another field. And we define over there, cheni matniti. It said over there that we have to be mefarish from Mishnah, by the way. We're not talking about that two separate things, Shevet O Chardal, are scattered. We're saying, even if you would scatter the one thing, in other words, either Shevet or Chardal is what we're talking about. So Shevet b'shalosh b'kamot, or Chardal b'shalosh b'kamot. And it's not, even though it ought to be all one field, then it doesn't have any din of a clear-cut marker, each one of them. Somehow, the fact that they're the same min doesn't mean that it's all one field. And Shmuel explained the reason is it's because they will end up maturing at different rates. Since they end up maturing at different rates, that itself is a hefsek to give each one a separate din. Which, by the way, raises a whole big issue, which is dealt with in all of the Acharonim, about why you chayiv at all on Peah, since the din is that if it's not the kitas and ka'achas, there's no chayiv at Peah at all. So there's all types of different approaches used. In other words, what is the shear of something not maturing all at one time? That would say that it's literally part of Peah. But I just want to mention it because it certainly sheds a lot of light on that, so yes, so keep it in mind. Rabbi Yosef, Hashem Rabbi Yosef. Now here's our Rabbi Yosef who just escaped from giving an answer, and he said the reason that it's considered to be a separate field is mitnei darkan lizara arugot arugot. It's because that the way that it's normally planted is in a single aruga. So that since areas are not set aside normally, the large plantings of these things, each spot is considered to be a different field. Now, if that's the case, that means that he holds that something that is just an arugah b'knei atzmo, and that's its norm, is considered even to be within areas of other things that are precisely the same as separate field. So how the heck could he have thought differently about a meitzah? I mean, a meitzah is obviously always arugah. That's what it is. It's a small, thin strip that goes between the field. And here he says that, meaning he ran away, and he says he's Mr. Park, so to speak. He obviously changed his mind. It's obviously that it should be a hafsaka when it comes to a meitzah. Lo tzurche de lo kutsha mishum pea. Oh, Kucha. And what he wants to know over here is not that, of course, he understands that you can't take it from one to the other. He's asking, but what if you did? That was his question. But Yavad, over here, he was talking about you need to take fair from each place. Fine. Of course he knows in Eitzah you need to take Mechachila from one, each one separately. That was not his question. What Rav Yosef was asking him was, was it kicher or not? This is the question. And this, he didn't know. The Maisa, we do know. Because Tani Rav Oshir, remember that we started this whole sugya with the mimer that if somebody does b'di'avad, takes off peah from a sada that's defined as a different sada, it would not be kadosh b'peah, even b'di'avad. V'shama meimar afilo meitzar. And we know that we've included in the hapsakot even a meitzar. In which case, there's your answer. Since it's considered to be a different sada, and since abafish b'sada l'chavrata is not yet said, even b'di'avad, so the answer is that it would not be kadosh b'peah. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Amar,
even for the field that it was on.
Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Amar, chatzuvot mapsikin l'peah. Even though our Mishnah doesn't say anything about it, a chatzav that is planted along a border, and chatzav is a rather strange plant that has a bulb that is very deep, and puts roots straight down. Now, the Gemara talks about it often that it was used by Yehoshua to be Mesamim the Gulas of Eretz Yisrael, as we'll see here too. The reason it was Mesamim the Gulas and why it's used for that, and it's still used in primitive societies. Huh? I don't know what it's called. Chatzav? I don't know. It has that straight, big white flower group thing that goes straight up like a whole. Looks like a whole.
Yeah, where's your set?
I don't know what it's called. But it is still used as a marker. And the reason it's used as a marker is because you can always dig down and find its tube. So if a guy starts one at the point, you can find the roots and the tubes.
Straight down.
Yeah. The bulbs.
Right.
And they're very deep. So if a guy wants to play games and moving a meitzar and he cuts the thing down, and you want to prove, all you got to do is dig and you find it. So therefore, being as the chatzav is used as a marker, it certainly will be mafsik between one field and the other. Time is Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. Rav Chisda boy, Rav Chisda says, well, b'ein chalak Yehoshua as aretz. I mean, you need to tell me that. I mean, isn't it rather clear? If this is the thing that that Yehoshua used to be machalik between us. So, Lechora, at this level of Rav Chisda, some learn that boy is that he wanted to suggest, but that it was used as the simon between the various shvatim, so then of course it will be mafsik. Also, Rav Chanina b'shem Rav Chisda. Now, Rav Chanina quoted Rav Chisda saying something different. Behem tichen Yehoshua Taretz. He used it to mark the borders of Eretz Yisrael, not to mark the borders between the various shvatim. In other words, it was slightly different than the way Rav Chisda said it originally. Now let's go through the cases.
We should get some of this stuff to keep out the Palestinians.
Grow it through them. Shulit koshi moshech. Nakal af pisha'ina moshech. Now, there's various elements in the Mishnah that seem strange because it tells us things that ought to be included in other things. So if it tells us a shulit, isn't a nachal out here? Right? So that's our first problem. Says it won't know. It's a big difference because a nachal does not have to be running all the time. A shulit does. And therefore, there's two separate chedushim. Okay. How about the derech hayochid and derech harabim? Isn't it obvious that if a derech harabim is a derech hayochid is enough, that certainly a derech harabim is enough. So bar tzurcha, what do I need that for? Ana meimalaka. Filo derech harabim eino matzik liilah. And I need it for us to tell me the end of the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, that the previous ones are insufficient for an ilan, a field of ilanot. And they're only a gader, so therefore I need to know that that's true even about a derech harabim. That's why I mentioned both. Mikiva de talinan shvil hayachid, shvil harabim, matzorcha. Now, there's certainly no need to tell me shvil harabim if I only know derech harabim. If I know shvil hayachid, then why would I need to know that a shvil harabim is matzik? The answer is, if I hadn't said it, and it was just, I would have said Shvil HaYachid, that it's enough to be a Mahasik. Big Kiddush, right? Ah, but I also placed the limitation on it, didn't I? The limitation being that it has to be the Bimot HaKshamim and Bimot HaKhama. If I hadn't said the Shvil HaRabim, you might have said, oh, the limitation is only true Lagavi Shvil HaYachid, but the Shvil HaRabim, it doesn't matter if it's there, because say, oh, Gamashul on the Mishnah to say both, that I should know the limitation also applies to both.
He says the chatzal poisonous to animals, they don't eat them.
Oh, that's why they don't eat the
water. Another great reason for it,
yeah.
Rav Amar, Bur, Venir, Beit Rova. The Zera Acher, Afilu Koshu. We didn't notice, it didn't say how much of a hefsek we're talking about when it said leaving a boor veneer in between. So it says Rav, well, it depends. You see, a zera acher, which was one of the things that was a hefsek, any, let's say even one row of a zera acher would be sufficient to be kovea that this is a hefsek. But just a blank spot would have to be the shear of a small field, which is a big rova, which is 10 amas by 10 amas, 100 square amas, actually a little bit more. It's really 104 approximately square amas. But, so about 10 by 10. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, all three of them, Bur, Nir, Zera Acher, all I need is Shloshat Lamnim Shalpatia. I need three rows of the plow. There's three plumbing that the plow would have drawn, which is 2 amas. Mahapolik. So, is this actually a machlokus, or are we talking about measurements? Because remember, it's a little bit strange, because Beit Zera is a measure of area, and the 2 amas is a measure of distance. I mean, so is this supposed to add up together, or what? Well, no. It may add up together. Maybe, I mean, first of all, maybe Bad Omer Rav was talking about Chiyuv Peah, and Bad Omer Rav Yochanan was talking about a Ptulapeya. I mean, maybe that the question over there is something that would be Machayev itself separately. We're talking about would it have a separate Ptulapeya. So maybe it needs to have a larger size. No. I'm sorry. Don't forget about that. But Tony, Bur Veneer. What do you mean? Chayev and Peya? Bur Veneer? Chayev and Peya? I mean, we're talking about a blank space. You're focusing only on the Zerahakar. But it was all put together over here, so that can't be the explanation. Ah, no, the explanation is this. Mimadama Rav was referring to Sabbatians. Mimadama Rav Yochanan, Bechamishim Ashtayim. You're right. The difference over here is between area and distance. The point over here is Rav was just talking about a standard field. A standard field is a Beit Rova. Beit Rova is indeed a question of area. Rav Yochanan was saying, but take that area. How thin can it be in order to still be a hefsek? Chamishim ashtayim, because 2 is the shear of shlosha tlamim of the mana of the machareisha. That's all that he's saying. They're not arguing. Reb Zera b'shem Reb Elazar says the following: you should know that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda shnehem amru davar echad. Even though they weren't discussing the same issue at all, however, both of them basically end up saying the same thing. Because Rabbi Yehuda's discussion that we're referring to over here, on the surface, has nothing to do with Maseches Pe'ah. He was talking about what the din is when it comes to the utilizing things before the owner. So he was questioning whether Shachas is permissible before the Ketira, for Ketira's owner.
Shachas of the
property? Yeah, of the same type of absurd. Rabbi Meir made a comment over here in the Mishnah, Lagabe Shachas, Kotzer Shachas Mas, in Rabbi Meir. So what it is now that Rabbi Zeir is pointing out is that we have over here Machlokas, whether you need Harish, the Chachamim, or Minimas, Karim, Harash. So in other words, according to what it would appear to be saying, according to Rabbi Meir, is that Ketira L'Shachas establishes it as a separate crop. And that's why it's considered to be a hefsek. And that ties in very well with what it is that Reb Yehuda says, as I'm about to show you, since Reb is here. Because what it boils down to is saying that Kumad Reb Meir Omar, HaKotz L'Shachas Mafsi, Reb Yehuda also would have agreed that HaKotz L'Shachas Mafsi. And Kumad Omar Reb Yehuda, that Echiyuv B'Peya Mafsi, Kach Reb Meir Omar, it's the fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, once it's considered to be gadol to shlish yidulo, that now it's considered to be chayav on its own. That's essentially what Rabbi Meir was basing it on, because it has its own separate chiyav peah. That's why it's considered to be a hefsek. Now let's talk about those shitas, because the ashkach under Rabbi Meir Omer chiyav peah mafsik. We know that when Rabbi Meir said that when your coats are l'shachas, it's mafsik, it's only where it was chayav on its own peah. God of the Tani, achalav guvai. Let's say that a field was attacked by locusts, or kirsumua nimalim, or was eaten up by nimalim, or it suffered a devastating windstorm, and shabarata ruach, or behema crushed it. In all of those cases, it's considered to be potter from there, because that's not a normal ketira. And that it says kutzracha, and this is a krumi kutzracha. It's not a normal ketira. Hakol modim im harash mafsid, im lo harash eno mafsid. Now, when you say hakol modim, why are you saying hakol modim? Who is the hakol? Lav Rabbi Meir. So hada amra mitnei shuhu patur b'peah. Now it's ever since this thing is part of the peah, so it can't be a valid hefsek. The only way it would be a valid hefsek is if, in fact, I had actually gone ahead and was hired. So something that's part of the peah is not hefsek. Aval imhu chayav, had it been chayav in its own peah, then afilu lo charash mafsi, which is essentially what it is that Rabbi Meir was saying in our Mishnah. Once it's already got al shalish kidulo, it has its own chiyev of a melech mafsik without harisha. Now that ties into what Rabbi Yudin said in Menachas Lagabi the Ketiras HaOmer, because that's called a tanina taman on Rabbi Yudin. Em asai bizman shiitchil ad shalo hevi shalish. When would it be okay to have the ketira over there as dafka if the field had not already grown to shlish kidulo? Once it grew shlish kidulo, avokim hevi shlish asur liktar imen for shachas. According to that, once it was shlish yiktar chayav v'peya, the davar shu chayav v'peya mafsik. Probably, and I can't prove that according to you. That part I can't really prove, because he wasn't talking about that. But I could certainly show you that the same way that Rabbi Meir is timing in our mission, you don't require harisha. And we see from the din about the attack of locusts and the malim that it's only Rabbi Meir holds you do need harisha. Then obviously the reason Rabbi Meir says you don't need harisha over here is because having reached shlish kidulo, it's chayav in its own pay. And Rabbi Meir holds something chayav in its own pay as marzi. Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. We've got to be with the end of the ketira. It's one to reach a shlish. It's considered to be its own ketira. So that's essentially the same halacha.
And so why can't you, once it reaches the shlish of its kula, according to what you can't
do? Now it's a real ketira. would have its own, would have gone that way, have its own
invitation. But it's also the Assyrian.
Yeah, the same over there. It would already be considered to be a normal Assyrian. You can't be kosher before now. No. You're supposed to hold its own. It's just us to be kosher.
And if you lose the field?
No.
Then you can't. I mean, you lose the
no, the, no, no.
In general, they wait until the Havasah.
That was the beginning of next year. It was the last two or so. Now, Rabbi Zeir said, by the way you phrased that, I'm just wondering. You said, "Hitchil ad shelo hevishlich," which implies that during the process of the Ketira, maybe it was maybe shlich. So I'm just curious. He asked Kamei Rav Yehuda, when you say "Hitchil ad shelo hevishlich," so then the afil hevia shlich, there would still be potter in alekta v'nefshikum napeh. In other words, as long as you started, the implication would be that it would be brought from like a chichlepeya if it grew to the shlish after it, you had started your katsira. Would, I mean, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. You're telling me that Rabbi Meir holds the same sheet as Rabbi Yehuda. Would Rabbi Meir have said that here too, Lagabi Peya? Would he have said, the Chay Rabbi Meir on that? Itzilat shloi di shlish? Would he have agreed that if you started before Abba shlish? So then, afilo hevia shlish would be part of an alekta and a shikam and a peah, in which case it would not have been a hefsek. Or you didn't mean to say that Rabbi Meir would have agreed with Rabbi Yehuda even regarding that. Then I mean that, because that really does. I mean, that's not negiah the main question over here, right? We leave that question standing. We haven't established clearly an answer to Rabbi Meir's.